Heavenly Father, in this moment, we just want to ask you that you can take our minds and clean them from whatever that will distract us and just help us to focus on what you want to tell us today and to show us how to not settle for little, Lord. Thank you so much. Use me as your vessel because I have nothing to give, but you have so much. So we thank you that you're the one that uses us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so I'm not going to be opening my Bible. I put it here because my Bible is in Spanish, so that's why I don't have it here. But let's look at our Bibles, Jeremiah 1:5. We're going to start with that verse, Jeremiah 1:5. It's one of my favorite verses that I feel very identified with. Jeremiah 1:5. Okay. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." I have here the version that was King James version. I'm going to read the New International Version. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Okay, through this verse, we can see that God, that was to Jeremiah, but it's the same with us. God already has planned us before we are in the belly of our mothers. And so that lets us know that he has what? Specific purpose. He planned us. And when you make a plan, when you plan something, do you do it just without meaning? Like just for doing it and that's it? No. And more if you take time planning something, it's because like, you know, I'm kind of perfectionist. And when I plan something, I look at every detail and I want everything to come out, you know, like it's supposed to. So when you plan something, it's because you have a purpose. So when God plans us before being in the belly of our mothers, it's because we have a purpose. He has a purpose with us in this world. If not, there wouldn't be any meaning of being here, right? But the Lord has a purpose with each one of us. So there's a meaning of us being here today and being in this world. Even if sometimes the world gets like kind of making us getting desperate for Jesus to come quick, but we have a purpose here while he comes. So that's how God has planned us, right? And so he created us perfect. And as you saw in the bear, right, we can use that as an example that the circumstances that surround us, even as adults, not just the kids, but also us, you know, through all our years of life, some of us has more, some have less, but through all our years, everything has been kind of shaping us and kind of ruining the first design that God made from us. And so it's very important for us to have a mind that the Lord wants to do something special in our lives, and he wants to fix us and make us beautiful, like I said to the kids, right? And so I don't know what the circumstances specific might be in each one of you, because all of us have our own trials, our own circumstances that kind of ruin our character, which is the most important thing, because it's what we're going to take to heaven, right? The Bible says that, and the spirit of prophecy. And so God wants to do a transformation in our lives, a transformation in our character, but sometimes we have got to the point of just settle for a little. And just, we come to Christ and we think that just by coming to him and that's it, like we say, "I give your life, my life to you," and that's it. And we think that's enough. But no, there's more, right? And we're going to see it later. And so, I'm going to share with you a quote that I found really, really interesting. So it's from, it's a pastor, a preacher from Puerto Rico, but he said, "If you ask God for a fruit and he gives you a seed, don't complain. You ask for a fruit, God gives you a seed." Sometimes we will be like, okay, I can't eat the seed, or if I eat it, like, it's not much, you know? but don't complain. He gave you more than you asked for. The only difference is that the seed must be worked to later harvest fruits in abundance. And so even God doesn't want us to settle for just a little bit. We ask him for a fruit, and this is just someone saying it, but we can see it in the Bible. Like, we ask for something and he gives us some bigger stuff. Luna was asking in prayer for stuff to give to the homeless, and now the things doesn't fit in her car because God always gives abundant. And I'm not saying to ask God for abundant in material, but what God wants to do in our character, in our lives, in our transformation is with abundant. God doesn't want to just do a little bit. He wants to fill us completely with his joy, with his love, with all the component of the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to be filled with that. And sometimes we, just by feeling a little bit of his love, we might just settle with that. Just feel confirmed. And he doesn't want that from us. And so I'm going to share with you one of the stories from the Bible that has been impressing me the most this past year. I don't know how many of you have read already the book of Acts in the Bible. So when I was doing my reading through the whole Bible, when I got to Acts, oh man, that really took my mind completely. Just seeing, I had read just pieces and pieces, you know, but it's not the same than reading the whole thing in order, right? So I encourage you to read the whole Bible in order. You're really going to be blessed with it. And don't settle for reading it once. Continue reading it more and more, because every time we get more. And so the story that I'm going to share with you is the story of Paul. So I'm just going to go a little bit quick through the verses, just the highlights. And we're going to start with Acts chapter 9. And here in Acts chapter 9, we're going to take verse 3 and 4. So you can look for it, and then we're going to continue jumping. We're not going to read the whole thing. You can read it at home, but we're just going to jump and get the highlights. Okay, so Acts 9, verse 3 says, "And as he journeyed," talking about Paul, which it was Saul at the beginning. That's how you pronounce it, right? Saul. Okay, so "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." So that's the glory of God, right? "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Okay, with that, we have to stop and remind that Saul, which is Paul, I'm just going to say Paul because it's easier for me to pronounce. So Paul, the Lord is telling him, "Why are you persecuting me?" But was he persecuting God? Well, humanly speaking, he was persecuting the people that were following Christ. They were following God. But whatever you do, it says the Bible, whatever you do to the sons of God, sons and children, like the children of God, then you're doing it to God, right? Because we belong to him. So if I do something bad, let's say to Georgia's daughter, then I'm doing something bad to Georgia because it's her daughter. She loves her so much, you know? And so then let's jump to verse 10. And here it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord." And so if we keep reading, let's jump to verse 13. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard," because the Lord is sending him to Paul. And so there, look, the reaction of Ananias. "I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." So I just want you to see the things that Paul was doing. And so you can see there that he had, like, his name was very dirty because the Lord was calling Ananias to go to Paul, but he was like, are you really wanting me to go there? I mean, it's not saying it like that. You read it already. But sometimes we might be asking the Lord stuff like that, like the Lord is sending us somewhere, but we can doubt just because we might also doubt with of God's transformation in other people. And so then verse 15, look what the Lord said about Paul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Yeah, that one that was persecuting the Christians. He is calling him now chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So the Lord was the one choosing Paul in a very special way. So that ugly character, that ugly behaviors, the Lord was now taking it and transforming it into something totally different. And so then verse 17, we see here that Ananias went to him and it says, putting his hand on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's one very special thing here, because Paul has lost his sight in the moment that he saw the glory of God, then he's bringing his sight back, but not just that, he's filling him with the Holy Spirit. And that is the biggest thing that we can have. And that is what God wants to do with us. But we can also be settling just for a little bit and not asking to really, for God to really pour the Holy Spirit over us. And he wants to do that in us. And I was reading in the book of Melody Mason, the book, I'm going to tell you the name, Dare to Ask for More. And so in her book, she was talking in page 138. She was talking about the sins of omission. And interesting to me, when she was saying about that, says, failing to recognize what we are not doing, that is a sin, the sin of omission. And she mentioned a lot of things, but I highlight three. Lack of complete heart surrender, lack of earnestness to receive more of the Holy Spirit, and lack of desire and effort to stand in the gap as intercessors for a perishing land. And so those three things were like, whoa, that's really huge and big, you know? And so highlighting the one of the Holy Spirit, because it's what we're talking about right now in this part. So the Lord wants to really fulfill us with his Holy Spirit, but we sometimes settle just with a little bit and we don't feel the need and desire to really ask for more. The Lord wants to give us more, each one of us, no matter anything, no matter the background, no matter anything. And then we can see on verse 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So, after he got the Holy Spirit, what happened? He went out preaching and sharing and probably like Stacy asking for divine appointments everywhere. And so, and that's really beautiful. And then, if we continue, everyone was really amazed. That's verse 21. And then let's see here. I'm going to try to jump a little bit to go a little bit faster. Then Saul went to Jerusalem. So that's verse 26. And says he essayed to join himself to the disciples. So he was trying to join the disciples, right? But look what happened here. But they were all afraid to him and believed not that he was a disciple. So even when God chooses us, the people that knows our background might think like, I'm doubting it. I'm not really sure if really the Lord has called him and he really has been transformed by the Lord, you know? But by the fruits, then later on, they will see that that's what happened here. And anyways, let's jump to chapter 13. And then on chapter 13, there was a group of people. And that group of people were told by the Lord, by the Holy Ghost, says here, so that's the Holy Spirit, to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that he has called them for. And then on verse 3, that's on verse 2, and then on verse 3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, so on Paul and Barnabas, they sent them away. But, so they went and they were preaching and everything, and so the Jews got very jealous. And look what happened. They got very jealous seeing that some, like, multitude of people was listening to him, to them, and answering to what they were, you know, like, in a positive way to what they were sharing. So the Jews started persecuting them, contradicting what they were saying and everything, doing all the impossible stuff that you find it in verse 15 and, I mean, 50 and 51. And then on verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled, no matter what, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And then we jump to Acts 14. And on Acts 14, we see that the Jews were going to throw rocks over them. And so they left. They were in Iconium. And they left to Lystra. Those names are weird, right? Because we don't live in that place. But so they moved from one place to the other because, you know, they knew that they were going to throw rocks over them and everything. So they were like, okay, let's move on and let's just share the gospel somewhere else. So they went to Lystra. And over there, they did a super amazing miracle, which we're going to see soon. But they did a super amazing miracle there. And because they did this miracle, the people was like, wow, this are gods. And they were taking both of them, Barnabas and Paul, like if they were gods. And so there, what they did was they wanted to bring sacrifices to them. And they were like, no, we're just servants. We're just humans as you are and all that. You can find that in the Bible. And so there, they corrected them like, no, there's no way you're going to come and do this to us, just to God, you know, and they were pointing it to Christ, to God. But then they were not happy with that. And the Jews took advantage. And let's go to the chapter 14, like we said. Let's go to verse 19 through from 19 to 21. And so it says 14:19-21. And there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So they throw so many rocks over them, over Paul specifically, and they thought that he was dead. They took him out of the city and all that, but he was not dead. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and he came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Okay, why do I bring this? Because, okay, we're done with his story, with his life. Those are the things that I wanted to highlight. Why do I bring this? Because it's just so amazing to see. Like, it really, oh, wow, like, really impacted me when I read that they throw him pebbles and everything, and he didn't care. He just got up and continued preaching. He was really on fire. He was really on fire for God. Are we really on fire for God? Are we really like willing to share God everywhere, like really having the desire of sharing him? Maybe we can just settle to just share him a little bit. That's not what he wants. And so the miracle that he did was really amazing. And only someone with the Holy Spirit can do that miracle. So it's just three verses. So let's look at it. And it's in Acts chapter 14, verse 7 to 10. Acts 14. It's the same one we were, but it's just going back a little bit. And it says, "And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked." I like that. Never had walked. "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed." And then verse 10, "said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked." Isn't that a beautiful miracle? And so the Bible says that we can do, like, if he used Paul, the Lord can use us in big things, like doing amazing things for his glory. And so he can only do that if we really ask for the Holy Spirit, if we really surrender everything to him. And that's what he wants for us. Is he really, like, he's calling us. He has called us already. He has chosen us for a special purpose. I don't know what is the purpose that God has for each one of you. I know the purpose that he has for me, or at least I know part. Maybe he has more, but I know what he has shown me till now, right? But God really wants us to have that desire of him to really accomplish his mission on us, his purpose. And that perfect design that he did before we were in our mother's belly, he wants to really bring that design to reality in our lives. He wants really to fit our lives, no matter what is the background, no matter what we have left lived before. It doesn't matter. He really wants to do something special in each one of us. But it's up to us. Like, he can't force us. He's very gentle. And he just waits for us to answer. And he wants us to answer his calling. And then we might think that we're just having a great life and that we're really enjoying the stuff we do, the stuff we like in this earth. But the truth is that, for example, let's say, in Puerto Rico, we have something that is so good. It's called pasteles. So that's something you eat in Christmas time and in every time I like it, but most of those special activities, that's like the main plate. And I'm so sure that none of you would say that that is good if you haven't tried it. But if you try it, you will say, oh, wow, this really tastes better than this other thing that I have tried, you know? And if you taste the ones from my grandma, I'm telling you, it's so much better because my grandma is just awesome. So, something that you haven't tried, you're not going to like it. You're not going to feel like the desire of having it. And you might think something else is better. But if you give it a try and you let God really do amazing things on your life, you will see, wow, definitely the Bible is right. The Lord has so many better things to give us. And that's what God wants to do with us today. I just want to share with you something short before finishing. And it's something I have learned in my life, and is to just be honest with God. No matter what, no matter if I think he's going to like it or not. If, for example, let's just come out with a very simple example. When I was very young, that I started at church, I didn't like to pray. And I had been some years already at church, but I didn't like to pray. It was so boring to me, to be honest. But I heard this young guy preaching, and he said, about that, but his stuff was worse. And he was saying, just be honest with God and tell him whatever you feel, whatever you have inside. And so I was like, Lord, well, you know I want to pray, but it's just so boring. I get so distracted, and if I had you right here with me, then I could just stay like so many hours talking with you, you know, and it won't matter anything. But it's just so boring because I can't see you. And it might sound like I'm offending him and it might sound bad, but it's worse to just keep it inside and not do anything about it. I really wanted him to help me out with it. And so it's just amazing. I can't say when that happened, but all of a sudden I started enjoying praying and talking with God. But it was him just showing me, and something he told me one day, Jailene, if you would do with me whatever you would do with our relationship, like a friend relationship or a boyfriend relationship or a girlfriend relationship, you know, the Lord wants us to have a deeper relationship with him, a closer relationship with him. And so if we treat him and do the things that we would do with someone that we can see here, then we will enjoy that time. So I started thinking, okay, let me think, what things do I like to do? I'm always smiling. I love smiling. I'm always laughing. And yeah, I like to laugh. And with my friends, I would share like funny stuff that happens to me or something that I find just interesting or stuff like that. So the Lord just taught me to share all those stuff with him. And I started to do that. Oh, I started to have so much like enjoyment with him. I started to enjoy the time with him so much. And having a closer relationship with God brings you joy, brings you everything you need. And so the Lord wants to give that to you. And he doesn't want to give it tomorrow. He wants to do it today. So may our prayer be very honest and open with God. Doesn't matter what you have to tell him. Just be honest. Because in honesty, when you are honest with him, then he can do amazing things. And it doesn't matter how bad it is. He prefers you. He knows it already. So just share it with him no matter what it is. And may our prayer, part of our prayer be to ask God, what is our purpose? What is my purpose in life? And please transform me however you need me to be to accomplish the plans you have for me, because you know the plans that you have for me. And so the Bible says in Jeremiah, and this is the last verse I share, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So don't settle with what you have become till now, because God has so much more, and he wants to manifest his power over you as he did with Paul. He wants to use you and do amazing things through you, but for that you can settle, for that you can't settle with a little bit.